Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. Here we are entering into the fall season, and the sun's already gone down, but you can see the skyline behind my home here of the Texas Medical Center and the NRG Stadium. The Texans football takes place right across the street on this side, and there's the beautiful Texas Medical Center, MD Anderson, Texas Children's Hospital, Memorial Hermann, Baylor College of Medicine, and we just go right on down with all the wonderful hospitals here right in the Texas Medical Center in Houston, Texas. So it's good to have you all tonight for Breaking the Silence. We have probably one of those shows that you may want to call some of your friends, text them, email them, let them know, tape whatever you want to tape on TV. Okay, you can always go back and watch that. But you want to watch this live because I don't even know what's going to happen, but I just got a gut feeling it's going to be good. So I just want you to make sure that you have everybody tune in. And if you are a fan of this new art form, the spoken word, you're going to really want to make sure you catch the last part of this show. But just stick with us now. And we always like to encourage you that if you give us 45 minutes to an hour of your time each week, we promise you that you're going to get a nugget of truth, of inspiration, of hope, of peace, or something that you can apply to your life next week, if not for your life, for maybe somebody that you're going to run into next week to be able to help out. We had a great show last week. Brandon Dempsey was here from Austin, Texas, and we're still getting texts and emails from that. So, Brandon, thanks for being here last week. Next week, I don't know if you actually recognize the person's name, but if you just type in Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, Quinn, Q-U-I-N-N, Law, the Jenna Quinn Law. And in your search on Google or whoever you like for the search engine, you're going to see all of these stories that come out about this one young lady that was abused in high school. And she's going to tell her story. And then she became an advocate, and then she got involved in legislation of how to protect our children. And the law in Texas, literally, the child abuse law is called the Jenna Quinn Law. And we're going to talk about that. And she has a great book. I'm about halfway through it right now. I'll have it finished by next week. But she's going to be our guest next week. In the few weeks after that, we have Dr. Bruce Perry is going to be here. We have the Alice Cooper group that's going to be here from the Alice Cooper Youth Camps in Phoenix, Arizona. We just have some great guests all the way through almost December. We are booked solid. A lot of people are wanting to be on the program. We have just a great slate of guests. Now, tonight, we want to let you know that we're going to be raw tonight. We're going to be real. If there's youngsters, 6, 7, 8 years old, you may want to be ready for a little bit of rawness. I'm not for sure. We'll just have to see where we go with Goldie. But I know her book, He Touched Me, is very, very straightforward, honest truth, and gut-wrenching with what she has gone through, our guest tonight. And I want her to have the freedom to talk about it the way she wants to discuss it. If you want to get involved in the conversation, my son Curtis is on the Facebook right now watching. If you want to just comment through there on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, you can comment, question on there, and then he can come on and let us know. Or you can call the most wonderful radio producers in the world, Thomas, Don, Doug, at 888-627-6008. They will answer your phone call, make you feel like family, and then they will patch you right through to us later on in the program. We want you to be involved. We don't give many phone calls here. I don't know if I scare you or put you to sleep, but I guarantee you tonight you may want to comment. You may want to find out a question that you have for the guest of, hey, wait, I'm in the same situation that you were, and find out some things that you may want to know personally about our guest tonight. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, is Goldie Reed. Goldie is an author, an artist, a speaker. She has a book called He Touched Me, and we're going to tell you how to get a hold of that. Probably the most economical book I've bought in a long time. It's less than $3, I believe. Short book, short read, but very powerful, very, very real. She's going to tell us about that. She is the founder of Say No Yo. Don't know what that means, but we're fixing to find out. But I want to welcome to our program, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, Goldie Reed. Are you there, Goldie?
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Give me a wave, and good seeing you. And I just welcome you to the program. You can hear me okay?
Yes.
I can hear you fine, too. Okay, welcome. Now, I want to just find out a couple things before we really get into your past. Let me know what you're doing right now. What do you actually do? What is Say No Yo? Where did you come up with that? And what does that mean? And what is it actually?
Wait a minute. Well, Say No Yo is an awareness movement. And that came about because of all that I endured in my life dealing with, we say no to sexual assault, domestic violence, teen bullying, suicide, and drugs. And every one of those I've been affected by. And so that's why we raise awareness. And so we raise awareness through free concerts. And it started in 2012. And we did all of California, not all, but some places in California, Waco, Texas. Actually, we're getting ready to do Say No Yo Dallas, nice. Arlington, Texas, coming up December the 11th.
Okay, so it's a Say No event, music, concerts, and things of that order? And,
yes.
And who plays? Are you involved in the music, or is it other groups?
Well, I am a Christian rap artist. I've been rapping actually ever since I was 12, 13 years old. But I started rapping for the Lord in 1996. I came across a church, Victory Outreach, which I've been a part of for a while. And I've seen a couple guys there rapping for Jesus. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, we can rap for Jesus? You know, and because I used to do gangster rap, but I left that alone. And I went to rapping for the Lord. Now, I ran with no anointing. I ran with no word, not too much word in me, no power, no nothing. I was just excited to rap for the Lord. And so that's how that began. And God told me in the year 2000, I'm not just going to get up there and rap. He wanted me to share my testimony.
Okay, so it's not just music. It's not just rapping. It's not just words. It's not just a Christian get-together. There's when you get them all in the room and you provide a little bit of praise and worship for the Lord,
yes.
You eventually get to a message, correct?
Yes, yes.
So do people know that when they come?
Not really.
That's a good idea. So you may be hitting them just boom. Hey, welcome to the program. We're going to have some awesome music. Now let's get real.
Right. Basically. They don't know what's coming next, you know. And
right.
So we start out with praise and worship. If we have a Christian comedian or spoken word artist, we allow them to go. First, we start out with prayer, of course, and then praise and worship, a few songs, and then a Christian spoken word or a Christian comedian. And then we go into the concert. We have Christian rap artists. We have it could be Christian singers. Everything Christian, of course. but yeah, it could be singers, praise dancers, and all that. and we just mix it like a big old pot of gumbo.
Okay.
And raise awareness. So, I mean, I really want to start getting people coming in as well to just raise awareness. And we raise awareness too. But from a professional side, I would love for someone to come in and just share the effects of what drugs can do to your body, or, you know, or bullying, or whatever the situation, you know, whatever they would like to share.
Yeah. So at the end of the concert, do you have a kind of a speaker or somebody that ends up? And then, okay, so let's say, I don't know how many people come to, but let me just throw out a number. Let me say a couple thousand people are in this arena or gathering. Okay. And you do the music and you have this after talk. At the end.
Well, we never had thousands.
But what do you do at the end with the people if they say, hey, wait, I need help?
Yes. Well, at the end of so we end up having everybody come together that is part of Say No Yo. We have our shirts on and it says Say No Yo on it. We come together. When they call up Say No Yo, we go up there and let everyone do at least 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes at the most, and they share where God delivered them from. Whether it was sexual assault, the healing, the part that they needed, whether it was drugs, whether it was incarcerated, whether they was caught up in the wrong crowd and doing wrong things, whatever it may have been. But usually it's those 5 points that I named. Drugs, sexual assault, domestic violence, teen bullying, and all those things. And even suicide. So, yeah.
Isn't it amazing how God can use different music, different culture, different mindsets, different ways of communicating to still get a message out that reaches people?
Yes, it is. It's powerful.
Yeah. So it's where'd you come up with the name Say No Yo? What's that mean?
Woo. Okay. So all I can say on that is I moved to the LA area. I wanted, my heart goes out to Skid Row. So I went out there and I started ministering, just loving on the people on Skid Row. And I did something, I don't know, God, like probably God's voice when I saying no. And I can't say it was God's voice. I'll just say I was thinking of something. And I was like, okay, saying no. What is saying no? What is saying no? And I didn't know. So on my shirt, they just say saying no. I know I'm saying no to the ways of the world. I know I'm saying no to these evil acts. So saying no. Then I don't know if you know anything about this commercial that say Marinella, yo. It's some kind of... I'm being honest. So the yo part got me. I said, Marinella, yo. Oh, that's a college. Oh, okay. Yo, there it is. And so I said, I took the ing off with saying, and it was say, no, yo. Bam, there it is.
Perfect. That's a good catch line. That's wonderful. Okay, now, so that's what you do predominantly during the day? And are you just a founder of that? That's something you kind of do when you get the opportunity and you...
No, I'm a home health aid nurse. I take care of the elderly and disabled. I've been doing that probably for the past probably 12, 14 years. But I now have my mom. My mom had fell to dementia. And so I take care of my mother. And so I'm basically at home with her taking care. But I also started my own little business. It's on Facebook. It's called Karje, K-A-R-J-E Designs. I started out making my own jewelry. It became time consuming. But I thought I sucked at it somewhat, but I still tried it. And then I found that the mask thing, you know, with all the stuff going on, we all need masks. I learned how to do that. I didn't know how, but I bought me a sewing machine. I learned how to make a mask or two. And so that's basically what I do. I work from home, but mainly my priority is taking care of my mom.
Fantastic. And I think that's an excellent segue. Because if people just listen to the last 10 minutes of the program, they're going to say, oh, this is just a great young lady that was born and raised in a Christian home and had a great church life. But it wasn't quite like that.
Right.
I read the book two times. He touched me. Short book. But you start like my book, first page, you know exactly where we're going.
Yes.
Page. Yes, and yes. I like the honesty. I like the rawness. I think anytime we try to candy coat this, the candy just runs off because you can't candy coat abuse.
No, you can't.
Now, we have, don't not going into it deep yet because we're going to do it on the other side of the commercial. Where did you, number one, come up with the title? And then why did you decide your story was something that you wanted to share with the world? Because that's not easy. Let's get to that little part first, and then we're going to share the story after in the next segment. But where did you come up with the
well,
what
one
does day, touch me mean?
You touched me. Okay, so one day I was laying down on the couch in my house. Nobody was there, and I heard a voice because I was going to name it Silent Cry because I suffered in silence, and I'm pretty sure many probably millions of us have suffered in silence. So I thought Silent Cry would be a great idea. Yeah. But I was laying on the couch and I was dozing off. And I heard a voice, a deep voice, like, he touched me. And I was like, I didn't say, God, is that you? I didn't say that. I felt like that was a sign from him saying, okay. I said, okay, there it is. I said, it got a little ring to it. You know, he touched me. It's straightforward, you know. And I didn't ask if that was him, his voice, or none of that. I just ran with it. I said, okay, Lord, I believe this is you telling me this is the name of this book.
So did you already have in your mind you were going to write it?
Right. In my mind that I'm going to write a book. I haven't written it yet. I just thought in my mind, I need to write a book. I need to let the world know what happened to me in my life. I want to be the voice for the voiceless.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Cause there to be the voice for the voiceless. How many years were you silent before you started putting ink on the page? How many years did you say my voice all is silent?
Altogether of silence was like 45 years, 40 to 45 years.
Wow.
Because I mentioned it at 16 to a family member. I told her don't say anything, but then she put me on the spot. When I did come forward, everybody was like, oh, I can't believe he done that. And so then I climbed back up into my shell and I didn't speak for another 20 some years.
Okay. A minute or two before we go to the first break, what caused you to go, now's the time? Now's the time I want to tell the world. What motivated you? What prompted you? What gigged you or whatever that said, now's the time. I'm ready.
I don't know. I just felt like it was an urge, a push there. Like I was being compelled to share. Even then, it was so many people hurting. And you watch TV and you see all these different shows. And, oh, man, and you hear the stories and you know the story that's going on in other people's lives. And I have a heart to help. No matter how damaged or how hurt that I was, God always kept my heart with love to want to reach out and help others from suffering, from what they've been through with domestic violence, all that. And I just felt like it was a nudging to, you know, in my spirit to share.
And the book came out, or you started writing and finished it, you think maybe 6 to 8 years ago, something like that? 2012, 2014?
Yeah, somewhere up in there, yeah. And when I wrote that book, It wasn't raw and straight to the point at first. It took me, it took me 3 days or 3 weeks to even write it. It would have been a bigger book. But my spirit was like, nah, man, don't sugarcoat nothing. They don't need to know about the forest and the trees and this and that. No, get right to the point. And that's the type of person I am. I'm a down-to-earth person, and I like to get straight to the nitty-gritty. Let's tackle that right then and there.
There's no fluff from word one to the last word is absolutely raw. I mean, it's just raw and real, and it's like, wow. And I think one of the things before we take the break, which we're up against right now, is that there's so many, Goldie, like you and I, that's listening right now, thousands that are listening and will listen that haven't broke through yet, that are watching you, seeing how well you look. And we're going to show you the before and after picture here a little bit later on in the program. People will not understand or recognize what transformation can make. And I applaud you already for coming out. And you have another book in you because everybody's going to read this one and go, how'd you get through it? Now I know what happened to you. How'd you get through it? Amen. On the other side of this break, Odie, we're going to, you feeling comfortable? You feeling good?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you're nervous, I can't tell. You're doing great. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. When we get on the other side of this break, we're going to drill down. And okay. I want to, right out of the chute, ask you, when's the first time you remember being abused? And that's where we're going to go, right on the other side of this break. So don't click off. Don't go anywhere. We have a commercial break on the other side of this. We'll have the next segment with Godie Reed on Breaking the Silence. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Welcome back. I'm trying to get the cover of the book up because I want you all to see it when we go into this. This is it, Miss Godie Reed, it says right there. And I have a text coming across here, but ignore that. He touched me, my life, my tragedy, my triumph. And it's an excellent book to just download on Kindle. Download on your reading app, and I think it's $2.99 right now, and you can't beat that. That's a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I don't even like Starbucks, so you're better off buying the book and go to Starbucks anyway. And it's just a great story. And don't let the title and her name, because your name in the story is Nikki, and but that is you we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Goldie, when do you first remember being hurt, touched, abused, or when did you first recognize that you are experiencing abuse? Because sometimes it can go on for a long time before a child even recognizes it's out of the norm. How did you first discover that?
I remember when I was around five years old. I remember my mom, she worked nursing, and it was some night she would leave us with my uncle-in-law. And she would go to, I guess one night she wanted to go out, you know, with her family members. And so she went out and she left us there with him. And to me, he was boogeyman, you know. And I remember as soon as she left, I remember he took his hand and patted on his leg and told me to come and sit on his lap. And that's really where it all began. That's, you know, began. And he began to fondle me. I had a little dress on. I still didn't know. I was so young. I didn't know nothing. Nobody never told me whether it's right or wrong because I was never introduced to that. I was only a child, you know? And I remember after he fondled me, he put me down, he grabbed me by my hand and took me to the back room. That's his room in the back of the house. He was living with us. And then he began to, I remember he placed me on the bed and he began to fondle me some more. And he performed oral sex on me. Yeah, so that's what I remember.
And how often, Goldie, did that happen during your time that he was living with you? Was it a weekly thing, a monthly thing? Was this the only time in those early years?
Yeah, I don't believe it was the only time because I, as a child, I do remember acting out. And I do remember, I think my body began to crave it. And I can't explain that, but so I know it wasn't one time. Because of all the things that I've been through in my life, including the drugs and all, it's hard for me to remember every detail and every little thing, you know. So I can't, I know it wasn't one time. I know it was more than once, but I can't say how many.
Right. Now, you said something that I have to jump on.
Okay.
Because people don't understand that statement. I do. And I've talked and counseled to a lot of people that have a guilt and shame because their body craves it or their mind feels love when it's happening or something on that. There's a hook there that once it happens that, and it's not such a painful thing, you feel accepted and loved sometimes. What did that mean to you that you were looking forward to it sometimes, but not asking for it? Your body craved it. What do you mean by that?
I was not asking for it. And I guess you could say I'm maybe looking for it, but I'm not sure. I do know that I acted out. And I acted out with other kids. And so even right, and I never really shared this too much with anyone. So I'm sharing this now. Mm-hmm. I believe there was a couple kids. One of them I was humping on their leg, you know. I didn't know. Once again, I was little. And as I got a little bit older, but I still wasn't, grown or nothing. But I do remember acting out again. And I acted out with a couple of my friends. And I'm pretty sure I hurt them and I never heard from them again. I never saw them again. But if they ever run across me or run across this, they know who they are. I truly from the bottom of my heart would say, I apologize. I'm so sorry. And I didn't even know I was going to be talking about that tonight, but I was young. I was a child, I wasn't even in my teens.
There's no dress rehearsal for this. There's right. No, the child does what they do to survive sometimes. Right. I mean, when something like this happens, your mind just goes in so many different ways and you just don't even know what's real anymore and what's expected, what's the norm. Okay, so from 5 years old to when it started, because this isn't just the only instance in your life of hurt, pain, trauma. Keep going. When was the next major issue in your life?
Then there was another family member that I'm going to my family's house and I'm loving kicking it with my family and we staying the night over there. And woke up one morning. You have to read the book, y'all. But I woke up one morning and there was a body laying on me, basically having sex with me. Here I am. I'm still young. I probably was around, I want to say probably around 8 or 9 years old. And when I was acting out, I wasn't in my teens, but I still probably was like 11, about 11 years old or so, 11 or 12 at the most. So once again, I still didn't know really what was going on with me. I knew something was wrong, but nobody still never talked to me. Even between 5 and 12, I still didn't know.
Do you think a lot of issues with this, since you I've heard this time after time, because the parents very rarely ever sit down and tell the kids, this is where you don't allow anyone. How important do you think parents need to hear that tonight? Because if you would have heard that, you would have known maybe at five.
It is very important. It's vital. It's very important. Because I didn't even know, I'm going to keep it real. I didn't even know what a menstrual period was, and when I started, even at 13, and that's just really the cunt, okay? That's raw. Wow. I didn't get. Because my mother never talked to us. She never told me what that, I didn't even know we had that.
Going, okay? She was a nurse.
I know, but she never talked to us. She never talked to us. She never talked to us.
Isn't that amazing?
Right, and I never had, put it like this, I never had the talk. Okay, so I didn't know nothing. Yeah. I was in the dark, period. Yeah.
And you're not so alone. And I think in the 2000s, we're starting. I think, even though I hate the news media and the way they do politics and all that, I'm not even gonna go there.
Yeah.
But when all this Me Too movement, yes, when all the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Olympics, the church, sexual abuse cases and all this stuff starting to hit the screens, the parents are starting to go, what's going on? It's always been there. It's just the fact that they've turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to it. So I think one good thing out of it is discussions with kids now.
Yes, but what's sad about it is most of the parents, and I can speak for my own, have suffered that.
Oh my.
Have been through that. So you would think if you went through that and you experienced that, then you're going to pass that on to your children, let them know, look, don't, you know, if anybody touched you, if anybody, because it made me so paranoid or whatever, aware that I would tell my kids all the time, look, let me know if somebody touched you, okay? Let me know, this is the pee-pee, this is the woo-woo, you know, all that. And so, and yet still, even when you tell them sometime, they still won't say nothing. Just so you know.
What do you think the average is? Because we know the stats of what the internet says about abuse and the people that have been probably sexually abused in their life. What do you really think? How many people do you think out of 10 do you think have been abused sexually?
8.
I've always thought it was in the uppers too. I think if you are watching us and you can say, hey, I never had anything, consider yourself blessed. Because this didn't come from your dad or your mom. This came from people, though, you knew, right? Yes. 93% of everybody that is abused in their lives are by from somebody that they know.
Yes, and they groom you. You know, they would be nice to you, and they need to gain your trust. They need to gain your family members' trust and all that, so they can get close to you. But that's not always the case. I wasn't groomed at all.
It just happened.
And yeah. Then I do remember one time, I was so little, but I do remember him saying, you don't want to tell nobody, and don't mention it to your mom, or bad things could happen. You guys can get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember something like that, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go into the teen years now. You're high school, junior high, maybe cheerleading. You wanted to be out of the cheerleading team, things of that order. You wanted to be a normal kid, happy-go-lucky and things of that order. And other stuff started happening.
Well, I'll say this. Let me back up real quick. We are going to go there, but I will say this. From the molestation of a couple of family members on to child abuse. I was introduced to child abuse around 9 years old from someone close in the family. And then also from, well, not family, but someone close. And it was a pastor.
Sorry to say.
As they read the book, they'll see that how that went. But, and then back to the teen years, I was 13 and I ran away from home. I felt I was not loved enough. I felt that I didn't get the attention that I needed from my mom. My dad was never there. He walked away. He was into the pimp life. So he went on about his business when I was just a baby. So I desired to be loved even at a young age, at 13 years old. Well, mother never hugged me. Mother never told me that she loved me. And I just didn't feel it. I didn't get that. Now that I look back, you know, as I'm a grown person, yes, I know mom did all she could, you know. But because she didn't hug me or love me, I looked for it all in the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And but come to find out, mom didn't get that either. She didn't get the hugs every day and I loved you either. So it's a generational thing. It needs to be broken. In Jesus' name, it needs to be broken. Man, please tell your kids. Please tell your kids that you love them. I tell mine all the time.
Yeah, because if we don't tell our kids we love them,
somebody else will,
and they will start loving them in a way that they ought to be loving and respecting us, and they'll get them on a whole different path. You better tell your kids you love them.
Tell them they need it. They need to hear from you.
So you ran away from home, and that probably caused a whole bunch of bee's nest to arrive, right?
Well, I would bounce from house to house until the cops found us and took me back home to my mom. Yeah. But eventually I ended up running away again. While in school, even at 12, 13, 11, probably to 14 or so, here come the bullying. I got bullied. I wasn't a popular person. I didn't dress sharp. I didn't wasn't into fashion. Still not in a way, but I wasn't too much into fashion. I was different, I guess, and they didn't like me. So they would pick on me. They would make fun of me. It was like six of them would chase me, run me home all every day. Mm-hmm. I remember hiding in the library. I was just scared to see 3:15 on the clock every day. And then I had to figure out how do I get away? And even when I stayed in the library for a couple hours, they were still out there waiting when I came out. I ran home. I ran home almost every day until mom locked the door and said, no, you're going to fight. And if you don't whoop them, I'm going to whoop you. So she locked the door on me and we started fighting, but at the same time, I didn't win because it was all of them against me. But at the same time, the one of the guys that, you know, the guy that was the bully and the main bully, he was like, we just wanted you to fight back. And so ever since then, they didn't bother me no more after I fought back. I don't know what that was, but that's what happened.
When did you get involved in drugs?
I got involved in drugs. I was around, I wanted to say 19, because I just had a baby. I want to say around 19 years old. Because back up, 15 is when I dropped out of school, became gang affiliated, and pregnant. 19 is when I entered the world of drugs, alcohol, wild parties, you know, cocaine parties, I should say. Not a lot of them, but a few of them. Weird stuff was happening. That's when I got caught up in the drug scene. So along with that came teen prostitution. And I do recall the first time I did something is I stepped out of my mom's house and this guy rolled by the car and he said, pull up your shirt, show me your breasts, and I'll give you $20. And I was like, okay. And I just started smoking crack, so I didn't know what to expect on anything. And he gave me the $20. I did it, and that was it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is easy. It's simple. It's on now. It's money to be made. That was my way of supporting my habit. But as time went on, I didn't like it. I didn't like grubby people, nobody touching me and nothing like that, because I've already went through enough with the touches. But if I wanted to smoke crack longer, I became a hustler, though. I hustled the dope to keep me going. But when there was no more hustle in me, I sold my body. Wow. To save us a strange change.
Okay, we're gonna pick up on that on the other side of this, and we're gonna talk about this the prostitution a little bit, and then segue into how you got to be where you are now. Law could have been involved. Things got involved in there that maybe was a wake-up call in your life. And we're going to get into that just on the other side of our last break. And then we're going to give you plenty of time for your spoken word moment this evening. But don't leave us. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. This is a short one for the final segment of Breaking the Silence with Jordy Reed. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. And, you know, at the beginning of the show, we always talk to the guests a couple minutes before we come on. And I thought, okay, I hope we have enough to get through the hour. Goldie, we could have went 3 hours, okay? Because we're not even through into that story. I do know we have a question that is coming across Facebook. Curtis has just texted me, so he's going to be hopping in here. And before we do the segment on the spoken word, because I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about that. Curtis may come in here, my son, and ask this question that's coming across Facebook. So you're in, you have discovered that selling your body can fund your habit in a pretty relatively, not a painless situation, I know, but you found out that you could hustle that pretty good. How long did that last, Cody, the prostitution?
Well, all in all, I was on drugs on and off for, say, 5 to 6 years. So anytime I relapsed and went back to the drugs, I went back to the prostitution.
So that's how you supported it almost every time. That's where the money came
from.
That
and also hustling, selling drugs. But right. I got in trouble for that. So
okay, well, let's go ahead and talk that. What happened to you that got you involved with the law and trouble? What happened?
Well,
I know there's a lot of stuff in between this, yeah. But that $2.99 book can fill in all the gaps. But
yeah. Okay, so I was out there selling my body, smoking drugs. Just imagine I was like 170, 65 pounds or so, 170 pounds. And within probably 3 weeks or 3 months, I can't remember, but I got down to 89 pounds. I seen boils popping up all over my body. I was just constantly pumping my body with this poison. I was basically near death. But that didn't stop me. I kept on smoking. And so, and it's not a laughing matter. I'm sorry, but just right. The way I say it. I ended up dating, not dating, but I got involved with the trick. I call him a trick. And we ended up having sex and the condom busted. In my mind, because of the condom busted. And I'm not going to sit up here and say all the tricks that I did had condoms. No, but for that specific one I did, because in my mind, I thought something was wrong with this person anyway, due to his circumstances. And so when the condom busted, the enemy told me, you got HIV now. You might as well just smoke up the world. You know, you're good. You're walking dead. And so I just went through that mental thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it busted. Ah. So I went out there just really going in hard. Really going in hard. Smoking, selling. Till one day I did it to I started hustling, selling the drugs and smoking till about 6 one morning. I went home. And I'm getting ready to chill out. I'm like, okay, good. I done smoked the soda all night. I'm finna go smoke. Went to the house, put the crack on the pipe. Let me make sure I lock the door, put the crack on the pipe, and get ready to smoke it. And boom, boom, boom. I knocked at the door. I think I still went on and hit it anyway before I opened the door. When I looked in the peephole, it was the cops. And they came and they was like, oh, we ain't worried about you smoking no crack and nothing like that. We got a warrant out for your arrest. They didn't check my house, and I had dope in the house. I went and hid it in a little big bag of rice up under the sink and put my little pipe, a little dope in there. And they was like, we don't care about all that. Come on. So they took me on down to the jail. I stayed there. But the next day, my ex-husband went to jail, too, because he was on it. And I left my 10-year-old son at home by himself. That was one of my turning points right there. But in the midst of that, I was raped by, altogether, I was raped by six different individuals throughout my life. But in the drug scene, I was raped by three different guys, three different separate times, and I was devastated. I was devastated. One of them, I was so afraid to even come out the house. I stayed in the house for like 3 weeks. But then when I came out, I met someone, took me to an abandoned house and raped me. And there's so many, it's so much, like you said, so they definitely have to check it out for themselves. But yeah, it's crazy. I went through a lot, and that HIV thing really scared me. It took me a couple years when I got off the drugs. It took me a couple years to realize I need to get to the doctor. And so I finally went to the doctor, and she cursed at me. She was like, you don't have no AIDS. I'm like, I'm wondering why she cursing at me. I guess, and then later on down the line, I found out, to me, I think the enemy was just mad. And he didn't take me out. Right. He's been trying to take me out, period. Yeah. Right. To the domestic violence, real quick, I want to say something. After all said and done with the drugs and the rapes, three rapes inside of the drug scene, well, I end up looking for love. You know, I want to let the drugs alone for that moment. Wanted to get into a relationship because I just desired to be loved. But sure. I didn't know what love was. Nobody told me. Nobody showed me. That's in my mind. I didn't know, right? And so I get involved with these guys. And they were abusive to me. One of my exes raped me basically almost every night because he gets drunk. But he was very popular. You know, all that, but, you know, in front of people. But when he behind closed doors, honey, he was the devil himself to me, you know. And I remember one day I had the Bible and I was reading it, but I said something out loud. I said, Lord, please don't allow this person to raid me tonight. And he heard me. And he came in and he grabbed that Bible off of me, off my chest. I had it up to my chest and he grabbed it and he said, God is a forgiving God. And he continued to raid me anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've been beat. I've been, listen, y'all, whoever listening out there, I've been bitten on my jaw to where it became a black eye. I've been smothered. I've been choked. I've been stomped. All of that. Because they wanted to control me. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I was all so much of a bad person. Because I was sort of quiet and submissive with these guys, you know. But that wasn't enough for them. And I think it was about control. And so they had their way with me.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Goldie. Curtis, I'm going to have Curtis come in. And my son, he's got a question for you. And then we're going to go to the spoken word thing. But I'll let everybody know we're going to do that. Curtis, hey, son, we're running close on time. But you look good, my friend. How are you, son?
Good evening, everybody.
Good. Good evening, my son, Curtis. And he has a question off Facebook. Go ahead, Curtis. What you got?
This is coming from David Dooley. So this is going to be both of you if you want to answer it. But it is, considering that most abusers experienced unsupportive and harmful parenting, What can be done to prevent child abuse 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road?
What can be done? All I can say is raise awareness with your children. Look for the warning signs. We become withdrawn. I started peeing in the bed.
Yeah.
You know? So look at the warning signs. That's the only thing I can really say is look at the warning signs and prevent, do the best you can by letting them know their body parts when they're young too. You know, this is this. Nobody touch that. You know, this is woo-woo over here, you know. And let mommy know or let daddy know. And sometimes it could be the daddy that's doing it to him. So, but let mommy know at least, you know, talk to mom. I think many of us parents have failed.
Yeah, and you know, I think you said it earlier, at least was the way I dealt with it. You had to break the cycle.
Yeah.
We had to break it. It's an evil cycle, and you have to determine, hey, this happened to me. I can't change my past, but I'll be doggone if it's going to affect my kids. I have to break it. And you've done that, and I know I did too. But hey, I tell you what, we are within some time, and I want to make sure. I want to give everybody a warning. Okay. This is going to be what we call the new art form, spoken word. We're going to have Goldie's before and after picture put on the screen. And then for about 2 or 3 minutes, she's going to expel from her emotions that she has written about. And it's about your mom, right?
Yes, it's a letter to my mom. I've never done a spoken word before.
So this will be kind of new, but it's going to be raw. It's going to be loud at the beginning. But Thomas, Don, if you would, just put the picture on. When the picture comes on, you're going to see, we'll wait till that hits the screen. There it is. There's her before and after shot. What a difference. And Goldie, share your heart. Here's a spoken word from Goldie Reed.
Guy, he gave me the best Christmas ever. The games, the toys, the bikes. I was so excited, Mama. I have a new stepdad, and he loves me. So I thought, I remember one stormy night, my squeaky bedroom door opened. And I saw a tall, dark shadow in the hallway, Mama. I was petrified. I couldn't move. I pretended to be asleep, but that didn't stop him. He touched me, Mama. He touched you too, Mama. You used to have blue and purple and black wings around your eyes, Mama. I think back to when I was 5 years old. You used to leave me with Uncle Boogeyman. Yep. He used to wait till you leave. And he would pat his head on his leg. And he would say, come and sit on Uncle's lap. My life has never been the same since, Mama. As time went on, men would hold me against my will. And they would touch me over and over and over again, Mama. You all want to know what I think? Do you want to know what I think? I think that all those evil spirits that those bad men had went into me. You know, some think I'm a little crazy, Mama. They think I'm a little cuckoo. So here I am, Mama. I'm all grown up. Look at me, Mama. Look at me. I'm all strung out on drugs now. I'm selling my body for some strange change. I've been broken into millions of pieces, Mama. Nobody's gonna want me now. I'm all used up. I don't have nobody to talk to. I don't have nowhere to turn. I'm so tired. I can't do this. I can't do this no more. I want out. Do you love me now, Mama? Because I love all of me now. And I stand here tonight to let you know that there is hope in God and that there is life after trauma. Amen.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty raw. I appreciate you sharing your heart, your story. We have 1 minute left in the program, which is just unbelievable. But I love the way you left it. You have hope now.
Yes.
You have Jesus now.
Amen.
If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Goldie, what's the best way to get in touch with you real quickly before we have to close?
If there's anyone out there that are that would like to speak to me, they could actually call me. Okay. Anybody in prayer.
Okay.
Just to start the healing process, you can call me at area code 702-551-4302.
Okay.
My Facebook is Goldie Reed, G-O-L-D-I-E, R-E-E-D. Add a Z. I put a Z on it so people can find me easier. So it's Goldie Reads on Facebook.
Okay.
On Instagram, it's Miss. Let me see. On Instagram, it's Miss Goldie. Say No Yo Reed.
Okay.
And we have We Say No Yo on Instagram as well.
Fantastic. Well, Goldie, I can't tell you enough. I appreciate you being here tonight. When the book comes out of how you made it through it.
Yes.
Let me know. We'll have you come back on. I think a lot of people were touched tonight, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing not only your story, but your heart, but also the hope.
Amen.
And I say amen to that also. And thank you for sharing that tonight, Goldie, live from Los Angeles, Nevada. I appreciate the time that you've given us this evening. Always want to end the program every week like we always do, no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of emotions this got stirred up inside of you. I want to let you know before we go, there's always, always hope. Have an awesome week. God bless. Join us next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence, live from Houston, Texas. God bless. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness info@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.